May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think that years ago, when I decided to embrace wholeheartedly what I'd already come to be convinced of theologically, that all the gifts of the Spirit were real, when I decided to take the plunge and go for it publicly, then there was no turning back, and I couldn't hide it away or put it under covering every now and then or do it light. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can become charismatic light. It's like getting run over by a truck. I'm going to be run over by a truck light. I mean, you get run over by a truck, you run over by a truck. It's pretty serious stuff. But one of the things I have discovered is that sometimes we as charismatic can get infatuated with what we call signs and wonders, and we miss the most important sign and wonder of all. That's the priority of God's heart in us. Jesus said it was for freedom's sake that he came and set us free and to stand fast in our freedom. The whole point of the fall, or the whole point of God's solution for the fall, as we mentioned last Wednesday night, looking at the kingdom, was new creation. He came to make all things new. Jesus even demonstrated that in one of his miracles that he performed. He had to heal someone and declare their sins forgiven. And the Pharisees and those around got really angry that he, who he thought he was, who could forgive sins. And to let them know that he could forgive sins, he called the fourth person forth in healing. And one of the things that scripture says is saying that as much as it is cool to see a physical healing, the greatest miracle of all, when God does something about sin in someone's life. And forgiveness means more than just, I'm not mad at you anymore. It means I put this away. That's what the word literally means, to put away. So that it has no more reign and rule in your life. 1 John 3:8 is a scripture that we as charismatics love to quote, and it's a great one, and I'll continue to use it when I pray for the sick or whatever I might do deliverance ministry, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But if you'll go back and read that scripture, he's talking about being set free from the reign of sin. That's the most significant work of the devil, because it's sin that brings destruction into a person's life. And God doesn't just want passionate robots doing signs and wonders. He wants free, whole people who are free from the reign of sin, who then manifest his kingdom and his love by being used in signs and wonders. It's got to have that first things first. There's nothing more tragic to me than someone who's learned to exercise childlike faith to see someone get healed, but in their private life they live in bondage and defeat. Jesus came to set us free. And from that place, then he wants to use us to bring freedom to other people, in whatever form the oppression the enemy takes. This is Romans chapter 6. I had to use this Bible because I can't read mine anymore. I've drawn on it so much in Romans 6 that I just gave up on it this morning and brought this one. But just let me read some scriptures and then make a few little comments about who you are and what you have to work with as a new creation in Christ. He had earlier said in verse 20 of chapter 5, "And the law came in that transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." Verse 1, chapter 6. What shall we see then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? Paul goes, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? He talked about the reign of sin in our lives earlier. And so Paul's point in verse 21 of chapter 5 was, just as sin reigned in death, that's not just physical death ultimately, but spiritual death and moral death. Even so, grace will reign through righteousness to life and life more abundant, heavenly life, through Christ our Lord. So when he says, should we just continue in sin that grace might increase? He would say, why would you want to continue in something that was supposed to produce death? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ, as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Very simply, the person you used to be died in Christ. You became a new creation because you were raised from the grave in him. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin, the word body here, the root word really is the word for entirety, the entire fallen human, the entire fallen personality. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the entire fallen personality might be done away with, that we might no longer be slaves to sin. Why did Jesus die on the cross? to make all things new, to set us free from being slaves to sin, because the wages of sin is spiritual, moral, and ultimately physical death. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, there's a bunch of stuff we could be talking about, but we're not, because we're trying to get to one little thing here. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we live in union with him, knowing that as Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's now living today, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God because you're in union with Christ. His life before God is your life before God. His righteous life is your righteous life. His spirituality is your spirituality. His relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit is your relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You don't have to work on it. He crucified it. How many times have I done that in my life? How many times have I heard believers do that? Well, I'm working on it. I want to say to them, if that's the means by which you're going to get victory, you can't imagine how big that thing is, and you'll keep working on it the rest of your life. Here's the deal. He crucified it. You don't have to work on it. He did. But I love what it says in verse 12 and 13. Because if you don't read it right, you can misunderstand what he's saying here. Because it says something really clear about who you are and what you have to work with. He says, therefore, and he's just told these people, these Romans, the person that you used to be, that was controlled by the reign of sin, the entire fallen personality was crucified and buried in Christ and raised up in union with Jesus. And Jesus is the source of your life, the origin of everything that you do. Christ is your very life. Christ is all and he's in all. So consider yourselves dead to sin as Christ is dead to sin and alive, living to God because you're in Christ Jesus. When you say to me, I just want to live for God, Jesus does too. And he does a better job of it than you can. So just rest in him and enjoy the life he lives for God. Let that be your life. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Okay, here's the catch. There is a law of sin in my members. We talk about it as the spiritual virus. And it does, like, pull at us, right? Has these strong desires to get angry, to get jealous, to be selfish, to be full of self-pity, to be petty, to gossip, to be critical, sexual stuff, addictive stuff, be rebellious, and do not go on presenting. And the idea is you've been doing it, you who have been set free from sin. You've been presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. He says, you're alive from the dead, you're in Christ, so surrender to that. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, often we interpret that verse as, now, surrender yourselves, present yourselves to God as those arrived from the dead, alive from the dead. And your members to be instruments of righteousness to God. That's not what he says. He says, your members, your brain, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your lips, your feet, your hands, every part of your humanity are already instruments, literally the words of instruments of the weapons, instruments of weapons, instruments of warfare. They're already instruments of righteousness. Present them to God. Every part of you is in union with his holy life. Every part of you. Your emotions are instruments of righteousness. You don't present them so they become instruments of righteousness. He said, present yourselves, not to become alive from the dead, to God. Present yourselves as those alive from the dead, to God. And present your instrument, your body, your instruments, your members as instruments, as already alive from the dead, to God. Present yourself as those alive from the dead to God. And present the members of your body as instruments. Present them as instruments. God, here are the holy, my mind, which is already an instrument of righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? The difference between the enemy's deception that your mind is just messed up or you just have these issues and you're trying to get victory over them. He says, no, your brain, your sexuality, your emotions, your hearing, all those things have been crucified and raised up with him. They are already instruments of righteousness. Present them to God as that. Oh, God changed me. He already did. Present that person to God. I hope that makes sense. But I have to be content that if it doesn't, my going on and on won't convince you anymore. Because we do have a limited amount of time. That's the teacher part in me. It encourages me so much. Lord, change the way I think. No, I'm the mind of Christ. My mind is already an instrument of righteousness. Just come into agreement with that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You can't get any better than that. Basically, what he says is own that by faith. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.